Welcome to Skip LaCour's Bodybuilding and Fitness Podcast. Six-time national champion bodybuilder, one-on-one peak performance coaching specialist, Mass Machine Nutrition Supplement Company owner, and speaker Skip LaCour offers his expert advice on training, nutrition, and motivation that will help you take your efforts to the next level. He also interviews the most interesting and passionate people in the bodybuilding and fitness world so you can learn from their knowledge and success too.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to this Bodybuilding and Fitness Podcast. I am Skip LaCour. And in this special series of podcasts, as you know, I am interviewing the most passionate and interesting people in bodybuilding and fitness. Most recently, we've been taking it to a whole new level and interviewing true legends in the bodybuilding and fitness world. And my special guest today is eight-time Mr. Olympian, so much more, Mr. Lee Haney. Lee, how are you today, sir?
I am doing great, Skip, and pleasure being on your show.
Well, it's such a pleasure having you on the show here and introducing you to a whole new crop of people who come to this podcast. So let's take a trip down memory lane. What, with all the victories, your eight-time Mr. Olympia, what was your number one memory, your number one contest appearance, even if you didn't win, but what's your most memorable event as a Hall of Fame eight-time Mr. Olympia bodybuilder?
Well, I would say it was the last Olympia in 1991 when I was on the stage and received the send-out trophy, and then my wife Shirley and my son Joshua, who was four at the time, and my daughter Olympia, who was probably around, she was still a baby, she was just a few months old, so all four of us was on the stage at the same time, so that made it special, because that was the last one.
Right. Now, that was also the one that you broke Arnold Schwarzenegger's record, am I correct, at that time?
Yeah, that was the eighth consecutive win.
Right, right.
You know, of course, Arnold won seven
right.
in a row, which I tied that and then went on to win the eighth one, which
right.
sort of gave me a little breathing room.
Right, so, right. I'll tell you, that's what makes you so special, me following bodybuilding. I mean, what made you so different was you were such a – it was just so apparent that you were such a great person in addition to a great – bodybuilder. So it doesn't surprise me when you talk about your greatest achievement or that moment in bodybuilding that includes your family. Tell me about that. Did you feel different amongst the other guys? I know you had your camaraderie and you connected the similarity of your passion for bodybuilding, but how did that feel? Because it was different than the majority of them. Would you say that was true or did it just appear that way?
Well, you mean feel from what point of view are you?
Well, you were. It seemed like you were a grounded family man, and it was so apparent. And you know what some people you know say is a very selfish sport. It took them away from their family. I didn't get that sense that that was your experience as a bodybuilder.
No, it wasn't, Skip. So you're correct in assuming that because you know I've always looked at bodybuilding as my job. It wasn't anything that I worshipped. It's something that I loved doing. It was my passion. But at the same time, I gave it my all when I went to work. And when I wasn't at work, I was a dad. I was a husband. So I kept everything. I tried my best to keep everything in perspective. And I strongly feel because of prioritizing things in that way, it made for a happier existence for me and my family.
Oh, definitely.
So,
did you
I feel that's what made the difference.
Right, right. Well, do you find as you're mentoring young guys, I know you're still active, I know you have your 60-day challenge, and I know it's not just for bodybuilders, but you're going all around the world, and you're connecting with the up-and-coming bodybuilders. I would think that a lot of them who have those same values as you do, family, that they seek you out, because of what you represent. But I'm curious that you know the other type of bodybuilder is all focus. He puts that all aside to achieve the physique, and if he's a competitor, doing the trophies. What kind of advice do you give those type of competitors? How do you look at that situation?
Well, you know, I tell them to make sure that they breathe as they make their way through this journey of becoming a professional bodybuilder, or in their quest to become a professional bodybuilder, because you can lose a whole lot of life by just being one-dimensional.
Right.
And so, you know, I breathed along the way. I laughed. I had a great time. Me and my wife, you know, we've been married now for 32 years, and I know that that has the way I viewed bodybuilding and the place in which I put it in my journey made all the difference in what happened during the time I was a competitor, as well as where I am now. You know, so I always tell these guys, make sure you breathe. Enjoy your journey. You don't have to hold your breath until you win that last trophy in order to fulfill the other things that makes you a well-rounded human being.
Right.
You know, so that's very important to have and to look at. You know, you see so many guys and that roll through life, and a lot of the Olympians, you know, past Olympians, they don't have a family. They don't have kids. You know, they don't have that stable structure. I like to call it structure because I look now at my son, you know, Joshua, we're working together, making things happen together. My daughter Olympia, she's a part of my team. My wife Shirley, so it's Team Haney.
Uh-huh.
And it feels good at this stage in my life, as it did as I walked through the journey.
Right.
Now,
right.
One of the people that impressed me so much that I never forgot when I watched Pumping Iron for the first time was Mike Katz. I will never forget the scene of Mike rolling around in the grass with his kids.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh.
You know, and that said so much to me. It spoke volumes to me as a young man when I saw that. And during that time, Mike was the only one that I saw that, at least in that film, that showed family in a way that was you know, warming. You know, it was something totally different, but something that I hope that existed, and he gave that hope and was that example.
Right, right. And I'm sure you gave that hope an example to a lot of bodybuilders out there. Probably makes the transition, you know, you talked about what you're doing now, and, you know, I'm glad that you mentioned maybe some of the former Mr. Olympias, how you view their life and how that's in contrast with your life, because I wasn't quite sure if you saw it the same way as I did, and so you do. It probably makes a transition as we get older, right? I know that you've got so many things going on with the Lee Haney Physique and Fitness Games, the 60 Day Challenge. You've done a lot of things outside of the bodybuilding world. You have your International Association of Fitness Sciences. So you've Lee Haney Nutrition. So you've been an entrepreneur. You've transitioned out of just the competing beautifully, right? And, you know, tell me, what was the plan there? Was this just a natural transition for you? And it probably, as you know, as we lose our bodies as we get older, it probably makes it a lot easier being so grounded and so structured, as you call it.
Yes, it does. You know, Skip, after winning my eighth Miss Olympia, I had some people say, well, why do you go for 10? I mean, what else can I say beyond 8? You know, I've always been of the mind that, okay, you've proven your point. Now it's time to move on to the next level. And so I was excited about what was available beyond competition. I found that there was other opportunities out there that lend itself still to what I had accomplished. You know, when it comes to fitness, comes to nutrition, when it comes to motivational speaking, all of those things were made available to me because of that success. So now why not use that?
Right, right.
And so I was excited about the next chapter in my life. And that excitement has landed me, you know, TV show on ESPN. I had Lee Haney Championship Workout.
Right, right.
I had a talk show on the Trinity Broadcast Network called Totally Fit. I've had shoe endorsement contracts. I've endorsed supplement companies. You know, I have a mentoring program called Haney's Harvest House, in which I mentor young men, and we now are establishing mentoring programs in different parts, different states now. So I'm excited about everything that I'm doing. There's so many things. I have to sort of slow myself down, particularly my son. I was, hey, Dad, hold up a little bit, you know, because he's one of these kind of guys that's sort of a strategist.
I see.
I'll look at the big picture. Okay, let's go get each other. Oh, hold up for a second, Dad. Let's go point A, point B, and then point C. And so he sort of slows me down and pulls me back in because, I mean, I'm so excited about everything that bodybuilding has enabled me to do. So it's a wonderful life.
Right. You know, now you're going to be at the Legends Seminar now, and you're going to be there on Sunday in Santa Clara at the end of June. But the whole group of the people are going to be there. You're going to be there with Rich Gaspari, Sean Ray, Flex Wheeler, Chris Cormier, Mike Christian, and I'll be there too. That group of legends that you're there with, they all have the same mentality as you. They're still working their game hard, still they're hustling businessmen, still giving back long past their days of standing on stage. Why is that rare amongst bodybuilders, would you say? You've noticed that. You've talked about the structure. You've talked about family. You know, what I appreciate about you is that you proudly, you know, have a picture of yourself on your websites of who you are today and not a picture of who you were 20 years ago, right? That shows to me a lot of confidence and a lot of you're proud of who you are today, too, just as much. But what is your thinking? How was it just different than others? And, you know, I know you did talk about it, but, what more advice can you give the guys who are balancing? Because having you as that role model, that it is possible, like you saw my cats, they need more of that so they don't put their head down. You just look at it from a different angle because you can see your peers and all the things that you notice. And, you know, I'm wondering, do they come to you for advice, some of your peers from bodybuilders back in the day, and what to do next?
Well, you know something, I feel real honored to have came through with a wonderful group of guys like Rich Gaspari, Lee Labrador, Mike Christian,
right?
Sean Ray. You know, of course, I guess we were the alumni that sort of, you know, locked horns together. And the cool thing about it, we were, I mean, just tough competitors, but at the same time, we had a huge level of respect for each other. And we fed off of each other. I really feel that, you know, I think, of course, I think me and Mike were the first one with kids, you know. Uh-huh. Me and Mike Chris were the first one with kids because I got pictures of his son riding on his back, and I got a picture of Joshua riding on my chest. And as we're walking down the boardwalk there in Santa Monica. So we were the first sort of out of that alumni to do that. And then, you know, of course, Lee had his family later, and now Rich is a dad, you know. So, and all of us, you know the importance of being in a place that we can provide for our families and that sort of thing. So it made us better men. And I learned to be a better man even earlier because I was the first alumni out of that group that had kids, you know, and that made me a better and a tougher competitor because when I hit the stage, it wasn't just about Lee Haney.
Uh-huh.
It was about making sure that my wife was taken care of, my kids were taken care of. I had to work to make sure I paid for diapers.
Right,
and
right, right.
Education. So... when you got a guy looking at life in that way, when he hits the stage, when he's in the gym training to prepare for a competition, his whole psyche is on a whole nother level. And there's nowhere in the world to compare that to a guy who don't carry those type of responsibilities. They cannot know what's going on in the mind of a guy who have a wife, who have kids. Look at some of today's guys like Branch Warren, for instance. Hey, when Branch hit the stage, he's going to rip your head off. You know why? Because he got a son to take care of and a wife to take care of. You know, so the mindset is totally different. You look at Brandon Curry. Well, Brandon's got about 5 kids. Well, Brandon's just going for the gusto. So I like to think that I've tried to leave a foundation for the young athletes coming up saying that, hey, man, I can breathe. I can win. I can enjoy a family. I can have a full life and still be at the top of my game.
Right.
Because, you know, from the spiritual standpoint, and, you know, I'm a Christian, I believe what the Word of God has to say. And it says, blessed is a man that finds a wife. And a man that finds a wife finds a good thing. And he's blessed, not only of God, but also through favor of men. Because men highly esteem and respect other men that have the responsibility of family.
That is so
true.
You know,
and so that's what I've tried to leave as sort of the inspirational structure.
Yeah. You know, I'll tell you, you talk about mindset, and you probably laugh a lot as you're going through. And, you know, the younger group there, what's the perfect combination of sets and reps, and what's the perfect diet? You know, what made you a champion? I mean, tell me about the mindset that it takes. And if there's something that you can share with our listeners who, you know, get all confused with all this information overload of the internet, with all these training strategies or eating strategies, what insight would you have for them?
Something? Well, Skip, I'm glad you asked that question, because a lot of who I am, I would say all of who I am, is a piece of what was given to me, handed down by Robbie Robertson, by Arnold Schwarzenegger, by Franco Colombo, by Roy Callender, by Frank Zane, by Tom Platt, Dennis Torino, you know, Samir, all of the legends, Alpha Becker. You know, I was fortunate to be the tail end of a magical era. No other Olympian, not Mike Christian, not Richard Sperry, not Lee Labrada, no one had opportunity to see what I've seen and travel where I've traveled, because I was a new kid on the block. You know, at the age of 23, they're riding along in the same bus with some of these gentlemen I just named, Dave Johns and Albert Beckles and Frank Zane and Sergio Livia, on the stage with all of these great Olympians. And so their workout routines and how they put their programs together was a source of information for me. You know, notice now, the older Olympians of yesteryear, you never heard of guys carrying pecs, carrying biceps, or carrying quads. Never heard of that. Because they had a systematic way of training. They had an ideology to their methods of building the body. These guys were not just beautiful Olympians with great physiques. They were athletes, and they used athletics in every realm. They ran, they jumped, they did all of these different things. And so, which is so different than what happens today. Which is the reason why when I created the International Association of Fitness Science, I used the same ideology that was handed down and that I had learned over the years. Hey, it made me 8-time Mr. Olympia. You know, at a weight of 254 pounds, I carried a 32-inch weight. You know, and that haven't been matched today, particularly when it comes to guys that carry mass. You know, and I've never torn a muscle. I have no hip, no knee, no back, no shoulder problems whatsoever, because of the training principles that have been handed down. Now, you can't say that about today's bodybuilders or some of the Olympians today.
Right.
A lot of them have had to have surgery and all types of other problems. So I attribute who I am today and what I've learned and my success from people that helped create the sport.
Right, right. So right now, I mean, that's inspiring. So you're in perfect health. You don't limp around. You don't have wake-up ball with injuries that occur just by all the grounding in the gym for all those years?
No injuries whatsoever.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's mm-hmm. inspiring.
Yeah, and see, the other thing that I try to bring to the table, too, because, see, a lot of us come from athletic backgrounds. Let's say even Phil Heath came from basketball.
Uh-huh.
You know, I came from track and field. Corey Everson came from track and field. Linda Murray came from cheerleading. I think Linda also came from a track and field background. So a lot of us were and still are athletes. We just use it in the bodybuilding realm. So I've tried to maintain that mindset. You know, when I trained Evander Holyfield, Gary Sheffield, Shannon Sharp, I wasn't just standing on the sideline blowing the whistle. I was actually performing plyos, karaoke, these different types of drills along with them. So I've always maintained that over the years, and I think that's very, very important to know how to make adjustments and use various training systems for longevity. See, that's what lacks a lot in our sport, is a lot of the athletes think one-dimensional. If you think that way, and you don't make adjustments to training cycles, different training systems, then you can do yourself a lot of physical harm. And I've been able to avoid that because of knowledge.
Yeah, that's awesome. Hey, Lee, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, you mentioned a lot of the current pros. So I want to get your opinion. You're obviously still very up to date with current bodybuilding scene. So I want to get your opinion about some of the new crop of bodybuilders and also go way back, even before when you started lifting, talk about your influences growing up. So again, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Skip LaCour's Bodybuilding and Fitness Podcast.
This is IFBB Hall of Fame professional bodybuilder Sean Ray. Join me and some of the other legends of the sport of bodybuilding, like 8-time Mr. Olympia, Lee Haney, Hall of Famer Rich Kaspari, and Flex Wheeler, along with Chris Cormier, Mike Christian, and Skip LaCour at the Legends Seminar Saturday and Sunday, June 27th and 28th in Santa Clara, California at the San Jose Championships. Get up close and personal with these amazing champions and find out what made them great during their competitive days and what's driving them now as we continue to find out what they eat and what are they doing today. For more information about this Sean Ray production, make sure you go to legendsseminar.com.
We are back with a true bodybuilding legend, 8-time Mr. Olympia, Lee Haney. So Lee, you mentioned as you were talking about your training philosophy, you brought up the mental aspects of the whole bodybuilding lifestyle. You brought up a couple of the current bodybuilders out there. You brought up Phil Heath, Branch Warren, Brandon Curry. Tell me, what's your opinion about the current crop? How is it different from your era?
Well, I love what is happening currently in bodybuilding. You have within your two top bodybuilding titles, you have Phil Heath, I think 4-time Mr. Olympia now.
Uh-huh.
That's four, correct?
Or yes.
Three.
Yeah.
Four times Mr. Olympia, correct?
Right. It's 4 times, correct.
Yeah, and it looks great. Tape is very well, good balance, so forth. Excellent spokesman. Then you have, as far as the Arnold's winner, you have as your winner, Dexter Jackson.
Right, yeah.
And so both have nice taper, both have quality, both look great and presents very well. And their physiques are sellable to the general public.
Uh-huh.
That's real important. That's important for the growth of bodybuilding. When a physique is not sellable, is not promotable to the masses, then a piece of bodybuilding dies every time.
Uh-huh.
And I say that because what you've seen recently, when it comes to mass, and I have nothing against mass, fine. Mass is great.
Right.
As long as proportion, as long as it's balanced. I proved that. All approved that.
Yes.
Robert Robinson proved that. So it's a lot of beautiful physique that proved that. I thought it started to sort of get over in another realm when Dorian won, and then Ronnie won, which Ronnie is a mass monster.
Right.
But, and again, eight-time Miss Olympia. I can't take anything away from Ronnie or Dorian. However, I think the look and the culture of bodybuilding started to take a sort of a downward spiral. And when I say downward spiral, I'm not saying, hey, you know, these are my friends I'm talking about. But
sure,
I'm just
sure.
saying that the look was so far beyond the reality for most guys who wanted to get into the field of bodybuilding that they became discouraged and went in another direction, which, as you know, physique has taken off and gone to a whole nother level. You go to a competition now, you may see 20 bodybuilders.
Right.
Then you may see 150 to 200 physique guys, and it's still growing.
Right.
Same way when it came to female bodybuilding. You know, you look at that now. Well, there's no female bodybuilding competitions being held nowhere in the United States now. I think as far as the NPC is concerned,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's just about gone. And we're by physique, which are the physiques of yesteryear, and bikini and figure is on the rise. So you have to look at, okay, if you want the sport to be sellable to the general population and you want it to grow, then you really have to put the proper guidelines in place in order for it to do so.
Right.
Yeah, now, if you can come up, and I'm sure, you know, bodybuilding, you know, when you would get a mass monster that can do a vacuum, that's got a nice tapering waist, everything flows and fit where it's supposed to, fantastic. And no one has ever said no to that.
Right,
it's
right.
Just the culture has changed so much that it's a rarity that you see that. And so every now and then you'll see a glimpse of that. And that's what Phil Heath, that's what Dexter Jackson, that's what Cedric McMillan, that's what Sean Roden, you know, these guys are the breath of fresh air in that direction.
Now,
gives bodybuilding opportunity to sort of rebound, so to speak.
Right, right. Now, you know, how often are you on the road and actually talk to these bodybuilders? Do they come to you for advice? Are you at shows a lot where you talk to them? How are you so up to date? Are you still a real fan of the sport of bodybuilding? But how much are you on the road these days?
Well, I'm on the road quite a bit promoting the certification program.
Okay.
The, you know, and so when I do that, I get to speak directly to the athletes, particularly at athlete meetings. You know, so I get to talk to them there.
Okay.
And it's not a Q&A form or anything like that. I just share with them, you know, the fact that if you love the sport, you're passionate about it, then, you know, you want to use it to develop some type of economy, because at the end of the day, all those hard work and sacrifice, you want it to turn into some kind of way of supporting yourself or making a living. That's why we established the IAFA.
Uh-huh.
And so I get to speak to them on those lines. But with the other, you know, we do maybe Facebook, and I offer online coaching, you know, and then, of course, there's so much goofy stuff out there on Facebook.
Uh-huh.
You know, where people are ranting and these young athletes are going out and getting these so-called fitness trainers. Everyone got a coach now.
Right, right.
That was ridiculous. And I'll take growing up, coach, what? If I know what I put in my body and I look in the mirror and I see the reaction of whatever I put in, then I know it works or it don't work.
Uh-huh.
So that doesn't make sense to me. You know, if I got my documents, as Rich Gasparri kept his, as Lee kept his, as Mike kept, we would document everything that we ate down to every morsel. So we were able to go back and troubleshoot whatever may have went wrong or whatever was going right in our training program. We had documentation to follow. So a coach wasn't necessary. I think a lot of athletes now are so lazy that they want somebody to lead them by the nose and tell them, okay, this is what you need to be eating. Take away that. They don't want to think for themselves.
Uh-huh.
You know, which is it can be dangerous, and it doesn't lend itself to really build your sphere of knowledge.
Right. Right. And they can everything that you're doing, all the certification, the International Association of Fitness Sciences, the 60-Day Challenge, you can all go to leehaney.com, leehaney.com. There's links to all the other sites there. Lee Haney Nutrition is there, too. You can get a hold of, follow Lee on Twitter, at Lee Haney, L-E-E-H-A-N-E-Y. Now, there's so many Facebook pages out there. This is the one that is the actual Lee Haney Facebook page, and that's facebook.com/TheRealLeeHaney. Okay, so remember that. Are you much on Instagram these days, Lee?
No, I don't do a lot of Instagram. You know, Joshua, my son, takes care of a lot of that stuff.
All right.
And he pretty much places me where I need to be. So,
okay.
He tried to hook me up so I can be at 1,000 places at one time, but a lot of time it doesn't work that way.
Right. Well, there's probably 10 or 20 Lee Haney's probably on Instagram right now. You know how that goes, right?
Oh, yeah. We've had to try to shut a lot of them down, you know, particularly with Facebook. There's a lot of goofy stuff out there.
Yeah.
So
leehaney.com is the best place they can talk to you for about, contact you through there. And then you have all the links to your other sites and all the different programs. You know, there's something that you mentioned about, I know you're a businessman, an astute businessman, and seeing trends. And I noticed that the name of your, the Lee Haney Physique and Fitness Games, tell me about those and what you focus on there.
Well, a few years back in 2004, we started what is called the Team Challenge, which is a sort of an obstacle-style strength competition for teenagers. And it was something that we used to promote health and fitness, you know, within high schools. And we gave away scholarships, you know, to those particular high schools who placed. And we also established life skills seminars along with those competitions. So, well, we've grown it over the years. And so now we've created what is called Lee Haney's Physique and Fitness Challenge.
Okay.
So one end of it has to deal with physique, the physique, bodybuilding, figure, bikini end of it. Then the other side has to do with the fitness games. Now, the fitness games deal with strongman, and this year we'll have strongman amateur as well as pro. So we have the pro division there this year with us. Then we have the fit kid, which is kids from 8 to 12 years old. Then we have the teenagers from 13, you know, and these have to be teenagers within the high school, and some of them before reaching the age of 19, which we have age categories there too.
Uh-huh.
And then we also have an obstacle race, which we've joined forces now, or in the process of joining forces with Battle Frog, which is a Navy SEAL organization. So we got a lot of great things happening, and I wanted to create a competition that shows the whole face of fit, you know, the bodybuilding physique side, along with the fitness side of it.
Right.
Because if you look at the masses, if you want the masses to join you in your quest for fitness, then you have to include activities that they can associate with. And that thing, you know, that, wow, you know, I really love this physique thing. Or I really love this figure competition. So you're able to then expand upon fitness. Because, you know, one thing I tried doing as this past chairman to the President's Council on Fitness and Sports to promote health and fitness across, you know, the entire nation. And so in doing so, you have to have ways to get that message across. And this has been a great way to do it. So
yeah.
We've had people like Chick-fil-A to join forces with us. We've have a Harbinger, the glove company, and Harbinger, everybody, anywhere going to a major sporting goods store, you're going to see the Harbinger glove.
Right,
we have Power Block that has joined forces with us. We have the Hemmelgarn Racing Team, you know, won the Indy 500 a few years back. They've joined forces with us. Paramount Acceptance has joined forces. Of course, MD Magazine and Flex Magazine, Iron Man, all of these are on board with us. So we're doing something totally unique and different to keep the word out there.
Right. So when you talk about Lee Haney's business and you say us, how does that look? What's that like? How many people do you have working for you? I mean, obviously, you can't be doing all these different facets, right?
Of course, I don't. You know,
take us behind
having a great team,
right? Take us behind in a business day with Lee Haney. What that's like?
Well, first of all, you know, hey, up early in the morning.
How early, Lee? Just curious.
Yeah, up early in the morning. You know, getting things rolling out to breakfast. Then I have my team, when I say team, you know, my son sort of heads up everything. And he has a team of people under him that he assigns different responsibilities to. And my wife, Shirley, she's my right-hand man. She's the chief financial officer and CEO of everything.
Okay.
So she's on top of things, you know. So her and Josh are my two number one people that I rely on heavily. Now, as full as the different events and all different things, and I have a whole nucleus of great people that take care of those different entities. You know, I got people in the Carolinas. I have people here in Atlanta. And, you know, I have a great partner of mine that heads up a benefits resource group. And they do a lot of awesome things for me. You know, they go after the money and find out where it's at. So we do all of those things. Then we have our 501, which is our nonprofit organization, which heads up these different events that we're doing. Because, you know, the events is set up in such a way to create funding for a mentoring program I have called Haney's Father's House. That program has existed since 1992. And the sole purpose of it is to help establish mentoring programs for boys throughout the United States. So all of these things we're doing, and I got a great team of people to help make it happen. So, I can't do this by myself.
I also heard somewhere that you're quite the commercial real estate baron or something like that. Is that true?
Yeah, that's another entity.
Right. You got a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, a lot of things going on, man. You know, so there's not a dull moment. You know, when you're your own enterprise, you know, you have to continue to expand. You got to reach out and get new knowledge. You have to be around smart people, particularly people who know more than you do, which is good. You know, so you got to have a good some good accountability partners and people that you can pull from to assist you in moving forward. Another good friend of mine is Steve Harvey. I've been working with Steve for over the last 7 years. And, you know, when we first met, when he moved to Atlanta, he asked me, said, Lee, I'm trying to keep myself in good shape. You know, will you help me? And of course, I mean, I'd be more than happy to help you. So we became good friends over the years. And that relationship in itself has been very positive. You know, he's a great friend of mine. And, you know, boy, Steve allowed me to introduce new products on his radio show. We're going to be doing this TV show soon with our weight loss challenge, showing the transformation systems that we offer. So there's a lot of great things happening, man. So there's never a dull moment.
Right.
Again, that goes back to making sure you take care of your health, because your health is your wealth. You know, and you giving yourself the right, you know, I just had my green drink a few minutes ago. You know, I had tuna on whole wheat. This morning I had oatmeal, you know, with almonds, and I drank plenty of water. And I've always done that. Matter of fact, when it comes to detoxing, our number one product is a 7-day detox, which I started using the detox program back in 1982 when I won the junior nationals, then the nationals, then the IFBB World Championship. So I've always been on top of trying to take care of my kidney, liver, urinary system, and colon over the years. Because I know that if my body failed, then guess what? All of these other ventures I have, no matter what they are, they can't survive without me. So I have to be here to take care of my responsibilities and those who depend on me.
Now, health sounds like it's always been a major concern of yours. How much is size at this age? You know, a lot of young guys, you know, they get really big and they can't even imagine the day when they have to downsize. I'm curious what's been your mindset, your psychology as you've been transitioning.
Well, you know, you have to just got to be smart, you know, when you transition to come down and so forth. Don't let your ego get in the way, you know. I purposely don't put pictures of me on the website. I don't do that sort of thing because I'm happy with who I am today, so I'm going to have to reach back at my past.
Right, right.
You know,
I did notice about you. That was quite admirable. It's quite different, too.
Well, you know, and you got to live in the moment and in today. You know, I'm proud of who I am right now. You know, you get sometimes people say, well, you're not as big as you used to be. You know, why should I walk around here 260 pounds at the age of 55?
Uh-huh.
You know, realistically, when you look at it from the health standpoint, okay, I stepped off the stage when I was 31. I am now 34 years older. I'm 24 years older.
Uh-huh.
So why should I ask my heart to pump blood through a body that's older and then heavy, my joints having to carry a heavier person? None of that makes sense when it comes to health. As you get older, you want to lower the amount of stress being placed on your joints. The amount of stress is being placed on your heart. So you got to be smart about that. You want to think about managing your age so that you're here for the long haul.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't just coincident that Joe Weider lived to be a great friend of mine, lived to be 94, or Jack LaLanne lived to be 94. It wasn't coincident.
Uh-huh.
These guys were thinking age management. And that's what you have to do when you step down from the stage. You have nothing else to prove. Only prove now that you can take what you achieve and turn it into an economy.
Right.
That's the thing
right.
to prove now.
Yeah, so much of their identity gets tied into their physique, and they weren't as structured as you call it, or they didn't plan out in the future. So, you know, you give up that identity that you had for so long for really nothing, right? You can see where it's a hard transition.
Well, you know something, Skip? When I was 17 years old, I got on my knees one night before going to bed, and I prayed. I said, Lord, if you see fit to make me the best of sport that I love so much, I'll go before the world and give you the praise and the glory. And guess what he did? He made me the best of sport that I love so much. Now I use the sport and the success of it to impact the lives of people.
Yes.
Health-wise, motivational speaking, giving them tools that can lift them, to make them feel better, to live longer, to motivate young people. That's what the journey is about now. So I understand why he gave the gift, but I'm committed to using the gift for exactly what I told him I would use it for.
Right, right. Okay, Lee, we're going to take one more break, and when we come back, I'm going to get back to where did you get this influence? You sound like a bodybuilder at 17, like a lot of the legend, that's was their entire life from start to almost to where they are right now. It's been bodybuilding, bodybuilding. I want to know how much do you think that contributes to greatness, your legendary status, and we'll do that when we come right back.
You're listening to Skip LaCour's Bodybuilding and Fitness Podcast. So, you have your bodybuilding and training efforts going in the right direction. That's awesome. Are you now ready to take your entire life to the next level too? Sure, it takes a lot of focus and discipline to build a great body, but that's not going to automatically translate into an incredible overall life too, unless you have a clear-cut vision for exactly what you want for your life and an effective plan that you really believe in to make it happen. Maybe you've already realized this. Your body has improved
dramatically. People compliment you all the time, but you still feel that there's something missing. What's your plan to become more than just a great body and create an amazing, balanced, overall quality of life that you can be proud of and confidently work toward? One-on-one peak performance coaching specialist Skip LaCour will help you channel all that your hard work, discipline, and abilities to become more than just muscles and help you build a life filled with confidence, passion, and purpose. You can have it all. Confidence in every social situation, wealth, opportunity, freedom, love, and connection, along with your impressive physical body and amazing health, when you know the strategies to put it all together and execute them on a continual basis. Go to SkipLaCourCoaching.com and see the different one-on-one life coaching plans Skip LaCour has to help you. Set up a free coaching session to see if this exclusive next-level one-on-one coaching program is right for you by sending Skip an email at Skip@SkipLaCourCoaching.com.
We are back with eight-time Mr. Olympia, Lee Haney. You can catch Lee Haney at leehaney.com. You can follow him at Twitter, at Lee Haney. And his Facebook page is facebook.com/TheRealLeeHaney. All right, that's his page. So before I talk about your childhood bringing up, I have one question. You've been a leader. Your victories breaking such a beloved hero like Arnold Schwarzenegger, his record. And, you know, how was that generally accepted? Do you have to go through adversity? All we hear about is all this great things, these great things about Lee Haney, accomplishments both on and off the stage. But I think a lot of times people learn from challenges. So I'm curious about that, if you went through any challenges there. And then what can we learn about you that maybe people don't see that was your trying days that made you stronger?
Well, you know, it's amazing. When I was going for that eighth Mr. Olympia, I had signed a contract with Twin Laboratories. And, of course, I had been under contract with the Weider organization for my entire career, at least probably about 98% of my career.
Uh-huh.
And there, it was rumored that, well, Lee, because you signed this new contract, of course they're not going to let you win that last Mr. Olympia, and then you're looking at breaking Arnold's record. That's not going to happen either. So you hear those kinds of things. And I've always, and I stuck to the fact that, you know, that from my spiritual standpoint, that if God was for me, nothing could stand against me.
Uh-huh.
You know, if it was his will for me to win, then I would win. I also felt, too, that having traveled to Italy, France, Greece, Germany, Belgium, Holland, over 25 different countries and had met with the IFBB heads of all of those countries, Singapore, Australia, I had developed relationships with all of these awesome men in all these different countries. I felt that the right thing would happen, you know, because they saw the heart of Lee Haney. They saw the life of Lee Haney. They saw my wife. They seen my kids. And these were not just, you know, just your regular people. These were businessmen and family men.
Uh-huh.
And I just felt that I would have favor in their sight. And guess what? I broke that record. You
right,
know, it was
right.
No question whatsoever. You know, I deserved to win it, and I won it. So,
yeah.
You know, as far as controversy is concerned, I never felt that I would be shortchanged.
Uh-huh.
You know, I always felt that, hey, my life, it was in God's hand, and he would do what he would with it. So I never carried any kind of stress like some people would become worried of. Worried about politics and that sort of thing, you know.
Right,
I always
right,
felt
right.
that God was greater than all politics,
uh-huh.
and he is.
Uh-huh. Tell me about some adversity. A lot of times people look at you and think that you've lived this charmed life and you haven't had any downs. What's your advice, encouragement, motivation for people, whether they're challenged with their bodybuilding careers, but in a bigger picture in life? What would be
well,
some...
Well, you know, it is, we will face adversity, you know, one of the things I did, you know, because I follow my heart with things, but also, you know, follow my head and use common sense. Now, one of the things that I had to deal with was having to close the fitness center, one that I tried to make work for about 7 years.
Uh-huh.
You know, it was one, it wasn't a hardcore bodybuilding fitness center. It was a nice 25,000 square foot facility, beautiful club.
Uh-huh.
And I placed it in an area that the need was great. Of course, I did my homework in making sure that the right businesses surrounded it, you know, like a Home Depot, Walmart, and major grocery stores. So it was in the right place.
Uh-huh.
But the community was not that extremely acceptable to health and fitness.
Okay.
You know, uh-huh. It was a minority community with African Americans and Hispanic neighborhoods surrounding it.
Uh-huh.
Of course, you know, you're not going to get a major fitness chain come in there and make that available to those kind of communities because they look for the bigger dollar.
Right, right.
Well, I look for the bigger part of the heart, and that's what I went after. And after 7 years, I had to close that center. You know, it didn't make it. You know, with membership rates as low as $19 a month, it still did not make it.
Uh-huh.
And that was rough, but I sort of knew going in. I said, well, if the community is ready to help, but if not, it won't happen. End up being a tax write-off.
Right, right, right.
To several hundred thousand dollars. Woo!
Yeah, right, right.
That did not feel good.
Yeah.
But, you know, I said, hey, you know, I prayed to the Lord, you know, I went with my heart. I also did my homework. So apparently you got a greater plan for me, another plan.
Yeah, well,
Now I'm doing fitness with the certification, whereby we have the functional training side of our certification program that plants health and fitness, ministers of fitness inside of churches and neighborhood organizations. So I'm still doing fitness with those type of areas, but doing it in another way, a way that's more cost effective to me and can be offered in communities for pennies on the dollar.
Right.
So we're continuing to grow that. And so, as I said, you know, it's always a way to get things accomplished when you're in line with doing the right thing and helping people, then the right thing will happen to you.
Right. That's some great advice. Hey, so tell me, growing up, what was like when you were a kid? What were your parents like? Who instilled this extreme work ethic in you?
Well, my dad. I was blessed to have a mother and a father growing up. You know, my dad was hardworking. My mom was a hardworking lady. Both of them had great genetics. So I had a great foundational pool from. But my dad would always say, you know, son, whatever you do your very best. You know, don't halfway do anything. Matter of fact, he could do anything. He could weld. He could build houses. He could do electrical. He could build engines for cars. He could repair. He could do anything. And he built my first T-bar row when I was like maybe 12 or 14 years old, which I can account for having a wide set of lats. So it was my dad who built my first machine to do that. And, of course, my mom, a great cook, very supportive, got a lot of wisdom from her, spent a lot of time with her. You know, she's still alive and well today. My dad passed a few years ago, but he was a long-distance truck driver also, so he was gone quite a bit.
Uh-huh.
So I was spending a lot of time, you know, with my mom, and she was just an awesome woman of God that would share a lot of life skill wisdom with me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you can see where your values came from there. So you started actually bodybuilding. When was your so you mentioned 12 or 13, you know, with the T-bar row that your dad built. When did you enter your first contest?
I entered my first contest at age of 16 years old.
Uh-huh.
It was in Mr. South Carolina.
Uh-huh.
Man, I had never been to a show in my life. I'd never, and where I'm from, you never heard of bodybuilding. You're just like, what is that? And, you know, just some of the guys in the local gym would say, hey, they're having a Mr. South Carolina. Mr. South Carolina, wow. So all I knew is I loved the sport, and a few buddies of mine knew what the show was going to happen at. So showering away to get there, and it's amazing. I didn't know of anything, you know, like posing trunks, and I thought they were briefs that you would get from Kmart. And guess what? I got a pair from Kmart.
Uh-huh.
So I actually wore a pair of underwear on stage for posing trunks.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I had a great time. The bug competition bit me then, and I haven't looked back since.
You know, I'm curious, have you ever had a job outside of bodybuilding and fitness in your life?
Oh, sure.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Know, like, when I won the NPC Nationals, I was laying bricks.
Oh, wow.
Know,
okay.
My parents' home, so got a certificate in that. And, you know, I worked at a grocery store, bagging groceries and stocking groceries, and, you know, swimming pools, you know, doing fiberglass swimming pools and yard maintenance. And then I worked for the Spartanburg Police Department.
Oh, wow. Okay.
When I, you know, before winning the Nationals. And I also, at 1992, me and a buddy of mine, that which I attended Spartanburg Methodist College together, which is located in Spartanburg, South Carolina. We finished with a degree in law enforcement. My area was juvenile corrections. And so we opened our first fitness center together as partners. It was called the Olympian Fitness Center.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, man, so I've always, you know, been a hustler, a visionary, and, you know, stepping outside of a box and doing a different thing.
Yeah, yeah. It seems like all the legends that are going to be in Santa Clara at the end of June have a very similar stories. Maybe that's why you guys are legends, huh? Yeah.
There you go. All those guys that will be there together, I have the highest respect for all of them, you know. And you see where we are today, where our life has taken us, and what our careers have done. You know, we didn't waste any time. You know, we didn't make the kind of money like the guys of today did. So we had to think outside of the box. Okay, I just won this during my day, this $55,000, $60,000. Okay, how can I make it work? You know, and the first thing I did when I got my first Mr. Olympia check was invest in a home. So that was the first, that half of that check went to purchase a home, real estate, for my wife, for me and my wife. You know, so just decisions like that can make all the difference. You know, it made the difference for all of us.
Wow, yeah, yeah. Well, Lee, it's been such a pleasure. For those of you who want to connect with Lee, again, go to leehaney.com. You'll learn about the Lee Haney Physique and Fitness Games, the 60-Day Challenge, the International Association of Fitness Sciences' Personal Training Certification Course, Lee Haney Nutrition, and everything that you're doing. So if you're in Santa Clara, Northern California, at the end of the June, you want to make sure that you come and see Lee along with all the other legends. So for Lee Haney, I am Skip LaCour. Thank you for listening to this bodybuilding and fitness podcast. Train hard and think big.
You're listening to Skip LaCour's Bodybuilding and Fitness Podcast.
This is Sean Ray, Hall of Fame professional bodybuilder. I put not only my body through some vicious conditioning, but my skin has also taken a beating as well. For years, I've subjected my skin to the tanning beds and tanning products. I've spent a lifetime of training to look good and feel good. But just because I no longer compete doesn't mean I've stopped taking care of myself. I'm constantly trying to fight the hands of time and have clean, young, and healthy-looking skin in the process. That's why I've joined Nerium International, my number one choice of skincare in my quest for looking forever young. There's never been a skincare product made specifically for dealing with the tone and texture issues that I've had in moisturizing and rehydrating my skin all at the same time. This product is truly making a difference in the fight against natural aging process. Don't take my word for it, just look at my skin. For more information on this number one anti-aging skincare product, visit my website at SeanRayskincare.com.